And we welcome you into My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning. And joining us on the telephone this morning is the Car Guru, Lenny Lawson. Hey, Lenny.
I'm actually here.
You're there, yeah.
I'm here. Back from Amelia Island yesterday. Obviously, I wasn't here, but you ran the show anyway, didn't you, without me?
I did. We ran a Monday show that was very, very illuminating, so I think people got a kick out of it.
They got re-illuminated, because if they'd listened before, they were illuminated and then re-illuminated.
There you go, yeah.
Right. So anyway, we'll do some initial illuminating today. I did go to the Amelia Island Concord Elegance. It was a great trip on multiple levels. The best part was just being with my brother and a good childhood friend that we had from, I mean, Brad has been our friend since, I was in the sixth grade and Wendell was in the seventh grade. And we've just been friends ever since. Isn't it great to be able to have somebody that has known you that long that still likes you?
I love that. Yeah, that when you find something like that, you've got something. So he's, I guess he was with you in West Virginia then, right?
Yeah, he helped us move actually from West Virginia to Tennessee back in 1971, and ended up staying with us almost all summer. And he would come down every summer and stay with us. Just good friends. We went to basketball camp together, and he was an extremely successful high-end computer salesperson. He worked for a company called Amdahl, and he was the number one salesperson in the world for that company. They were a direct competitor of IBM for big mainframe computer systems, like, for example, a computer system that Bank of America would buy for everything, or for First Union Bank was one of his best customers, Lowe's. I can't name all of the customers that he had, but, he was just really good, a really good salesperson, really good. You know, the thing about a system like that is when you sell one, you might have just one or two sales a year, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and you just pursue the client and develop relationships, and just over a period of time, you win them over. Imagine a company called Amdahl actually outselling a company called IBM. And in that world over in North Carolina and in the southeastern United States, Brad Frazier was the man. IBM, he was feared more by IBM than just about any other person in the world as far as going up against. They knew that if they were going up against Brad Frazier for a sale, they had their hands full. And he's just an old country boy from Frazier's Bottom, West Virginia. That's, just in case you don't know where that is, that's near Winfield, West Virginia.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I know where Winfield is.
Do you really?
Sure. You know I was born in Bluefield, so I know where places like that are.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's just up the river from Poca.
Yeah.
You know what the Poca's, Poca's high school team were called?
Probably the Poca Dots, I would imagine.
There you go. That's exactly right. But anyway, that's a little, nobody really cares about my childhood friend. But, you know, he's a car lover, and he's now retired and raises donkeys, miniature donkeys. But we had a great experience. I was disappointed to find out on the way down there that they were going to cancel one of the best auctions that the Gooding auction was one of the highlights of the trip, usually, but they just didn't have enough participation. I guess not enough cars. People still worried about COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of the big heavy hitters for the Gooding auction actually come from other countries. And, you know, right now, Canada is still locked down. I talked to Peter Klute, who has that television show, Legendary Motor Cars, and he has the company called Legendary Motor Cars. You can check out his inventory. Just go to legendarymotorcar.com, and you will see some amazing inventory of cars that he sells. But he said, Lenny, I can't make it down. I said, I can't even fly out of the country. If I fly out, I can't get it back in.
Hmm.
You know. So, but anyway, they did have the RM Sotheby's auction, and we reviewed some of the cars prior to the sale. But just amazing results. The money's still flowing. One example is a 2006 Ford GT. Now, this is a car that Ford brought back out to celebrate, you know, the heritage of the 4GT that was in that movie. What was the name of that movie? Ford versus Ferrari. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that was a car that raced at Le Mans and ended up winning first, second, and third in that race. Well, they came back out in the car. I think it was 2004, 2005 when they actually came out with it. This was a 2006 4GT Heritage Edition. You could buy back then. Now, this is just 2006 now. You could buy it for $180,000. All this person did was bought it, didn't put many miles on it, sold it at the Sotheby's auction for $533,000. Mm-hmm. That's some pretty good appreciation.
Yes, sir. That's making a little dollar or two.
Yeah. So the money was flowing. There weren't a lot of buyers down there. On the Sunday show, which was the big show out there on the field, and it's an invitation only, there were about, typically there's about 300 cars. They had about 200. So the field looked a little thin. Mm-hmm. But there were still a lot of really cool cars, and you know, it was just a feast for the eyes to watch the folks walk around. And you know, interesting sometimes as the cars are the people, you know, and the questions that they ask and the way they dress and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's just, I don't know. Are you a people watcher?
Yeah, I like that.
You like to sit like on the side of the street and just watch people?
Yeah, I like that every now and then. Let me ask you this. The women that were there, did they have hats on, fancy hats or anything?
A lot of hats. A lot of, you know, I see these guys walking around in 90-degree weather in three-piece suits, you know,
mm-hmm.
like seersucker and some of those other exotic materials.
Mm-hmm.
Linen, you know, linen suits that wrinkle up really badly. And I say, what are you thinking? You know, but they have these fedora hats on and they looking cool, and I've got my James Taylor T-shirt and you know, shorts with my Olakai flip flops on. You know, so I'm not really fitting. And my Gateway Ford hat. I was representing. You know what that means, don't you? Representing.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't pick up any customers though, but I did meet John Hennessy. Now I was talking before I left for the trip that I had this gentleman. And he's a radio show listener that has asked me to help him sell a couple cars, and one of which is a 1993 Viper, which was modified by a guy named John Hennessy.
Hmm.
And this is serial number one, 1993. It's called the Venom Viper. It has over 600 horsepower. At the time when the car was modified, it was the fastest 0-60 car in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when I walk in through the main gate there at the car show, I look up, there's this huge pagoda that's been put up. That's the only thing I know to call it. It's a roof with four big posts, and it said Hennessy F5 on it. And I was thinking, I might go talk to them and see if they might be interested in buying this car back because they built it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got this one car underneath this big cover, and it looks like, imagine a Ferrari. It was dark blue. It looks like a combination between a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and I don't know what else, but a very sleek-looking sports car. Gorgeous. I was talking to the guy who represented Hennessy there, and he said, yeah, this is our latest model. We make 12 a year, and they sell for $2.5 million a piece. And I said, do you have a rebate? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. How about 0% financing for 40 years? No, we don't have that either.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, so he said, well, let me, I showed him the car, showed him the pictures of the car that I had. He said, you know, John Hennessy would like to see that. And I said, well, where is he? He said, he's Rottweiler. So I saw this guy, and he was surrounded by folks talking, and I walked up to him, introduced myself, and said, I might have a car that you might be interested in. And he said, well, what is it? And I told him, and I mean, he just, his head jerked around like lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I would be very interested in that car. So the owner of the car, he may be listening to the show, I don't know, but if he is, I'm going to be working Mr. Hennessy to sell him that particular vehicle. But it's just, you know, what you see down there for this event is just a lot of people who appreciate the history, the tradition, of the automobile. And you get to see everything from race cars to you don't see Model A's and Model T's. There weren't any of those out there, but there were some three-wheel cars, you know, some of the oldest cars ever created. And just some of the cars, the race cars from the 50s and 40s and 30s and stuff like that, it's just, I don't know. It's just something. I'm glad I like cars, because if I didn't, I don't know what else I would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hunting, fishing. I don't know. But anyway, this is a car show, and we'll talk about more cars here in just a minute. I do want to talk about the new Ford Lightning when we come back, so we'll get into that in just a minute.
Back here on My Car Guru for this Tuesday morning with the car guru, Lenny Lawson.
Did you see the unveiling of the new 22 Ford F-150 Lightning?
Yes, yes. Impressive.
Well, it pretty much looks like an F-150, doesn't it?
It does, but the way they did it, I thought it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they didn't stray much from the formula. Really doesn't make much sense to, I guess. It is all electric. It has been the best-selling truck for 44 years in a row. I don't know if it's going to make it this year, though, or not. You know, with all the plants that are shut down.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, that was probably one of the most alarming things that I saw driving down the interstate and on a lot of these very busy four-lane roads around Columbia, South Carolina, and Charlotte, where I picked up my buddy, you go by a lot of car dealerships, and you see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every lot was virtually empty of new cars.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of used cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the dealers have done what they can to spread the cars out, you know, so it looks like they have something. But this is, you know, when I come back to my dealership and I see we have really good Nissan inventory, but our Ford inventory is down, and that's just true everywhere. And so, you know, we've been talking about this, but anyway, it's impacting car dealers in a big way. We have a huge demand out there and just not a big supply. And you can imagine what that does to pricing. And we haven't seen the new all-electric F-150 in person yet. I've got two or three of the hybrid trucks in stock right now. I don't know how that happened. But, you know, this 100% electric vehicle is supposedly going to be a game changer. It's got a lot of technology built into it. One of them is called Ford Intelligent Backup Power. Now, if security and peace of mind are important to you, then you might like this truck. It's especially during severe weather, unpredictable mm-hmm. events. You can pretty much power your house with this thing. It has a very powerful 80-amp Ford charge station built into it. 80 amps is a lot. You know, when I pull up to the campground, my camper requires, well, I mean, it'll run on 30 amps, but you can't run all the air conditioners and everything else. It can't run both air conditioners and all the lights and stuff like that on 30 amps. It requires 50 amps. Well, this truck has 80 amps. So I can, you know, if somebody is a big-time camper, this might be something that you want to consider. Not if you're doing a fifth wheel, though, because, you know, it takes more than an F-150 to pull the average fifth wheel. But for most travel trailers, unless they weigh more than 13 or 14,000 pounds, this particular hybrid F-150 can handle it. Now, the electric vehicle, the Lightning, it takes that to a whole different level. And also, of course, one of the big changes is the instrumentation, the dash. You know, Tesla had a huge impact on interior car design. You know, for so long, a 5 or 6 inch screen in the center of the dash was pretty much all we thought we needed until Tesla came out with the Model 3, or maybe just the I can't remember what their initial model was called. I just call it a Tesla Model S. And they had that monster screen in the center of the dash. Well, that just, I mean, it had such an impact. It's ubiquitous now. You like that word? I always like it when I use that word. It just feels good coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's ubiquitous. That means there's a bunch of them everywhere you look. But this new large screen, I'm thinking, okay, well, I wouldn't want that thing in the middle of my dash. But, you know, the Ford, the Mustang Mach-E, it has that too. And, Timmy, I've grown to really appreciate that, especially, you know, when you rely on bifocals.
Yeah.
You can see it a lot better. I mean, that screen is really big, and it just works. And so, you know, a lot of the instrumentation is now digital. I jumped in my wife's, a Nissan Frontier this morning and got in, and it actually had gauges with needles. And I feel like I'm in, you know, Fred Flintstone's truck, you know, compared to some of this stuff I've been driving lately. It's easy to get overwhelmed with all of this technology, and I get it, especially for the people that come in here and say, well, Lenny, I still use a flip phone. You know, their life is probably a lot simpler than mine because they don't try to mess with all this technology. But, you know, this stuff is coming, and it's coming at a rapid pace. I ran to a gentleman just moments ago. He was looking at the Mach-E that we have, and he said, what's the range on this thing, Lenny? And I said, well, about 300 miles. He said, that's not enough for me. He says, I go up to the northeast a lot, and I'm up in Vermont, New Hampshire, and I don't want to be, you know, looking for a charging station all the time. And I said, I get it. You know, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're driving around and most of it's local business and that type of stuff, or you don't go very far, 300 miles is plenty of range. But I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens with that. But this new Ford Lightning is going to be the beginning of many more things to come. Battery technology is bound to improve, and this is something that's being crammed down our throats. I think they have the government is going to reinstitute the tax credit for companies like Tesla that have exceeded their limits. They're going to make it. I mean, at least the Democrat administration is going to push this and push it until, you know, as long as they can. If they lose the next election or the one after that, then a lot of that will be rolled back. I wish just they could come up with a plan they could all agree on and just stick with it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It'd be nice.
I mean, it's exhausting. You know, these people want a pipeline. These people don't want a pipeline, you know, and it affects so many people. And, of course, what we drive, I mean, all of this discussion about eliminating exhaust fumes and CO2 production, I mean, it's all probably something that we should work on. The efficiency of the internal combustion engine is getting way, way better. The creation of synthetic fuels is going to revolutionize the efficiency even more, to where a gasoline engine can actually run. And, you know, you talk about what it takes as far as CO2 production to create a vehicle, to build it, and to operate it over a period of 4 or 5 years. When you look at the carbon footprint of a gasoline engine using synthetic fuel as opposed to a full electric vehicle, they have about the same impact. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I like going to a gas station and filling up in about 5 minutes. Don't you, Tim?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that I think that we Americans, we like that freedom. And maybe it is cool to pull up to a charging station and plug your car in and sit there and load it up with electrons, but you know, if there's five other people waiting and each one takes 40 minutes to charge, I'm not in for that, personally. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. Hey, let's take our last break and we'll finish this up here in just a minute.
All right, back here on My Car Guru to wrap things up for the final couple of minutes. You know, you said something during that commercial there. Even 20 years ago, you probably would never have found yourself even dreaming you'd ever say, and that is, you said at Gateway, we sell as many cars online as we do off the lot.
Yeah, it has made us a national dealer, and every single car dealer in the United States is that way. If you have something unique, then people are going to find it online. you know, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, we were advertising in the Greenville Sun newspaper. We would advertise on radio and TV, and that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now probably 75% of my advertising budget is internet based.
Yeah,
you know, Facebook is important, but mostly just through our website, through Auto Trader. But people find us, and just like the Mach 1 Mustang that's on our showroom floor, a guy from Texas is buying that vehicle. One of the first hybrid F-150s that we got in was sold to a guy in South Florida, and he just, you know, goes on the Google line and types in, you know, or goes to Ford's website and builds one and then hits the locate button, and it finds the one sitting on my lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, Tim, it's totally changed our business. Now, you know, from a service standpoint, all of our business is local, you know, Tri-Cities, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people will buy a car from me in Bristol. They're probably not going to drive all the way to Greenville just to get their oil changed. But hopefully, you know, if they have a warranty issue or something, they'll come down and give us a chance to take care of it and put them in a loaner car or whatever. I mean, service is local. Sales is no longer local.
Yeah.
You know, and that's true with just about everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible how far it's come.
But I personally like that to deal with people that I know that are close to me. I try to support business, you know, East Tennessee in general, but Greenville specifically. But so many businesses have closed. You know, I love seeing the revitalization of downtowns and stuff like what has happened in Johnson City and Kingsport. And I'm really not that familiar with downtown Bristol, but Greenville is really going through a transition right now. People opening, you know, places to eat and breweries and, mm-hmm. you know, just different innovative things like that to try to bring local here, because a lot of people are moving here now, aren't they, Tim? You know, from California,
yeah.
Florida, and places, they're finding how nice East Tennessee is, and they're wanting to be here. And, you know, with no income taxes and stuff like that, there's a lot of good reasons to locate here in East Tennessee. Just don't, let's not get too many people, you know. Let's not make it feel like, you know, big city. We want to avoid that. It's not really in our control, though, is it, Timmy?
No, it's not, but hopefully it won't get to be a thriving, big-time, filled-with-people metropolis like some of these places.
Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about road trips. We're going to talk about 14 of the best road trips in America, because I'm in the mood for a road trip. I just got off one. I'm ready for another. So we'll do that tomorrow.
Sounds good to me. We'll do that tomorrow on My Car Guru, and that'll do it for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.